Welcome to the Equipers Church Budapest podcast. We hope today's message will encourage and inspire you. For more information, check equiperschurch.hu.
I said, how we are doing tonight, guys? Come on. Look at you guys. Good job coming to the church. Even if it's cold outside, proud of you guys. You are real Christians, not just like coming when it's nice weather, but even when it's cold. Look at you. You can give yourself a nice hand. You guys are doing well. Look at you. Yeah, anyone grateful to be in the house of God? Come on, this is the best place for you to be Sunday afternoon, is in the house of God, in the middle of God's presence. Do you agree? Come on. Yeah. Hey, my name is Toby. I'm just part of the team in Equipers Budapest. I'm really, really excited to be with you today. Pastor Mir and Marta are sending actually warm welcomes, or greetings, I would say rather, from all the way from Ukraine. They are ministering there for a couple of days in Ukraine, so you can keep them in your prayers that God will protect them and anoint them to serve the region. How many of you know that Ukraine needs prayers right now? Amen. But hey, right now we are in the middle of a series called, help me out, The Promised Land. Come on, let's say it together. The Promised Land. Or you can say enter a promised land. So good. And yes, so in the last couple of weeks, we have been talking about one story in the Bible, about the story of how God actually made a promise to Israelites about giving them a land flowing with milk and honey, right? Milk and honey. And the story of Israelites escaping the Egypt, going through the desert, entering the promised land, and then fighting for what God has given them. And just really, the Bible actually says that these things happens to be an example for you and I, right? So there is a lot of things that we can learn actually from all of this story. You know, God doesn't want you to be a slave, to live as a slave of sin. But God actually wants for you and I to walk in freedom. Amen. And so there is a lot of things we're going to look at. But today we're actually going to look at how we can activate God's promises in your life. Can we say it together? Activating God's promises. So good. We're going to look at what are God's promises and how what has been said more than 2,000 years ago somewhere else and to someone else does still apply to us here in Budapest 2023, right? And if yes, how we can actually apply those to our life. But before we start, I would like to show you a quick picture. There's an illustration we'd like to show you. Imagine for a moment you have been given a garage full of your dream cars. Not that difficult, right? Just for a moment, picture that you actually, someone actually gave you his garage and it's full of the luxurious sport cars offered for many purposes, right? And you have keys to each one of them, right? And don't you think, wouldn't it be a pity not to use it when you think about that? I don't know if you know, but in the Bible, in Ephesians 1:3 actually says that all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. Why don't you say it together? Every spiritual blessing, right? In the heavenly realms, because we are united in Christ, right? So that's a good friend for you. God actually has given you a full access to every spiritual blessing, to every single promise of God. And man, why wouldn't we use it? It's just really amazing picture. You know that many people actually know about the kingdom of God, but not really everyone knows how we can access the kingdom of God, right? So that's why, you know, when you understand, man, when you understand your position in Christ, everything will change. When you understand who you are because of Jesus, You can start walking in authority. You can start walking with what God has made available to you and I. Yes, yeah? So let's not let the Ferrari in the garage, all right? Let's not let the Ferrari in the garage, but let's ask God how we can access the promises He has given us. Amen? Cool. So there's one, love this verse we'd like to start with, from Israel, from Psalm 78. Is about the nation of Israel. It says that, yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. they did not remember his power. Come on, right now, come on. You and I, let's be a church that does not limit God. Right? Let's be a church, let's be a community that is not standing in the way of what God wants to do. Right? Let's think bigger. Let's not limit God. Let's dream God-sized dreams, right? So many times we have dreams, but they are only like, oh, what we can do. But I believe, come on, God is there. God wants to give us a God-sized dreams that are dependent on His resources. Not only what we can achieve, but what God can achieve. And I don't know if you know, but God has unlimited power and His resources are unlimited. Can somebody say amen? Come on. So, hey, we're going to look right now. What are the promises of God? Well, the definition of the word promise is to assure someone that one will definitely do what they say, right? So many Christians have actually trouble believing the promises of God. It's like, hey, man, is this really true? When you read it in the Bible, is this really working? Is this really for me? Right? But we have to consider, man, that in each promise, these are not just some random promises that we sometimes make, like, yeah, yeah, I will do it, yeah, 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 yeah. Like, yeah, I sometimes tell him to kick, yeah, sure, sure. It's quite difficult to keep the word all the time. These are promises spoken by God Himself. These promises are rock solid. These promises are spoken by the Creator of the universe, right? The purpose of those promises is to give you joy, to give you comfort, to give you hope, to give you faith, right? And we can see those promises all the way from Genesis to Revelation when we look at throughout the whole Bible. Actually, the scholars and theologians have attempted to count these promises. Imagine counting all of those, yosh. Some estimate that suggest that there were over 8,000 promises in the Bible, from which there are 7,487 promises that God has given to man. Man, God is good. So there are a bunch of promises, in other words, to put it simple. There are a bunch of promises. The Bible is full of promises, right? And the good thing is that God fulfills all of His promises to Israel. When we look at this story, I love how this is amazing verse in Joshua 21:45. Not a single one of all the God's promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything He has spoken came true. Right? So what does this communicate about God? Come on. It communicates that God keeps His word. I believe maybe there is someone here today. Maybe people let you down. They didn't keep His word. Maybe if so many people around you failed you, they gave you promises, they didn't keep it, and it made it difficult for you to trust God. Man, I want to tell you, I want to encourage you, God is not like that. God will always keep His word. Come on, if God is giving you a dream, He's going to fulfill in the name of Jesus. There is going to be a way that He's going to fulfill, right? So, hey, couple of years ago, actually, I'll say that I wasn't really sure, you know, reading the Bible, growing in Jesus. I wasn't really sure if all of those promises, like, it's really sound nice. I wasn't really sure if it applies to me. So I was really careful, like, oh, God, I'm not sure. Can I claim this? Can I pray over this? Can I use this? Can I really expect that You will heal me? Can I really expect that, oh, You will provide for me? Can I really expect You will protect me? So I was really careful to pray like that, to be confident and know that God actually wants to. That's why it's there, right? So the good news is that, hey, God's promises are still relevant for us today, right? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? And I love what it says in 2 Corinthians 1:20. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. This is really powerful scripture, guys. So it's not because of us those promises are relevant and we can apply them. It's because of Jesus. They work because of Jesus has done for you and I. He has made them available. He has unlocked them, right? So I also used to think a couple of years ago, maybe two or three. I also used to cry. To be honest, yeah, I think that people have different levels of access, right? Like if you go to a building and there is you need a clearance or you need access to get to some rooms, right? I don't know if you ever experienced that. And I used to think like, oh, this guy has experienced so many great things in his life. He has to have different level of access, right? And I used to think like that. But man, when you read the Bible, when you understand what Jesus have done for you and I, you understand that we all have the same access in the promises of God that are available to you and I. It's not about, and we just have to learn how to activate them, right? But all of us, the good news is, man, you have full access. Why don't you look at your neighbor and say, full access. You have a full access to all of the promises of God. Come on, somebody. Awesome. Now I'm going to show you a couple of examples of what those promises look like, if you wonder. So for example, God is promising us to give you rest. So for example, in Matthew 11:28, Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, right? Take my yoke upon you, right? Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give is light. Come on, the rest doesn't come only once a year when you go to holiday somewhere to the beach. Right? That would mean that you have rest only once a year. No, God wants you to walk with rest, to walk with Him, to come to Him, right? Sometimes we can think, oh, rest comes only when we don't do nothing. But the paradox is, no, rest comes when we come to Jesus, right? And so Jesus, when we abide in Him, that's a wonderful promise. Another promise, for example, God promises to take care of all of your needs, right? So in Philippians chapter 4, 19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus. How good is that, right? Another promise, for example, God promises to be with you, right? Matthew 28, verse 20, and Jesus, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Again, God is promising to protect you, right? It says in Psalm 21, verse 2, this I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He's my God, and I trust Him. How many of you know that you need a protection when you are driving in Budapest? I don't know if it ever happened to you, but yeah, often when we drive and just, whoa, what just happened? Like, whoa, thank you, Jesus. You just saved my life. You know, like sometimes there's some crazy drivers around. I don't know. I hope you are not one of them. But yes, we do need God's protection. You don't even realize how many times God has saved your life, right? My wife, Kika, is just starting to do the driving license. Help me, Jesus. I'm going to be claiming this promise for a long time right now. At least 4 years, I'm going to be praying daily. Man. God is promising to heal you. Did you know that? In Isaiah 53, verse 5, but He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on Him. And by His wound, we are what? Healed in the name of Jesus. Come on. God's promises to send us the Holy Spirit, right? In John 14, verse 16 to 17, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate, which is just another name for the Holy Spirit, to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of the truth. Right? So there are so many. These are just a couple of examples. There are so many promises of God. But Bible is, in another way, a book of promises. From Genesis to Revelation. As promises of provision, protection, healing, wisdom, for God to be with you. That God will hear your prayer, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, from freedom from addictions, from deliverance from sin and evil. God is promising for your family, to take care of your family, to restore your marriage, to forgive you, to restore, to give you good future. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Come on, there are so many promises and they are waiting for you to start claiming them, to access them, to learn how we can access those promises. You know, many times in my life, I actually God was so good and faithful. He actually keep his word and what he promised to me. And we experienced miracles in many, many areas. The first time, I remember the first time when I experienced the promise of God was a couple of years ago when I was in hospital. About 3 or 4 years ago, we find out very bad news as a family. You know, for a while, I couldn't really breathe through my nose. And, you know, later on, going to a doctor's, find out that there was a big tumor in the middle of my head in the size of an egg. So it was pretty difficult. And I remember, man, I was incredibly scared. I was really afraid. I remember that, you know, my friend actually the same summer, the same time when I found it out, my good friend of mine from the church, she just died because of a tumor in her brain. And it was really, really difficult for us as a family. So my life changed. And yeah, I just really remember being in the bed the night before I was supposed to have the first surgery. And I was, won't lie, I was pretty afraid. But my uncle came by that day. And he actually brought me, this like a sign, or it's like a house decoration. It's actually, and there was a Joshua 1:9. He brought me this as a gift and to encourage. It says that Joshua 1:9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Right? And I just knew that God was in the room. I could feel his presence. I knew that I'm not alone, that I don't have to be afraid. Right? And so that was the first time I actually felt like, man, God is good and faithful. Even though I don't understand why we have to go through the pain in our lives, God is good and faithful, and he is with us. He will not leave us alone. And, you know, I went on a journey. I had over 6 surgeries. In a pretty rough season. But man, after each surgery, I just knew that God is making me bigger on the inside. I just stopped fearing more or less. And I just knew, I knew the pain that is coming. But I also started to know, like, man, God is with me. And suddenly when I started to know that God is with me, man, I started to see the other people around me. You wouldn't believe how many people just could encourage in the hospitals right before they had surgery, could pray for so many people, and they all were open to hear about Jesus, right? And in the middle of this season, was crazy season, very limited in life, couldn't really do much. You know, you have a surgery, it takes about 2 months to recover, to start eating properly, to start functioning. After 2 months, there's already preparation, you have 1 to 2 weeks. You get ready for another surgery. It was a pretty rough season. And in the middle of that season, we actually got married with Kika. God is good. Your life doesn't end. Yeah, there are some limitations, but when we embrace limitation, God can actually do something. I remember, man, every surgery I remembered, it's going to be the last one, right? We just really had faith, like, God, you're going to do something amazing. And it just really prayed every time. Remember, it took us, I think, 3 or 4 hours by car to go to the hospital. It was pretty far away, city. And every time on the way, we were just praying. And, what if this is going to be the last one? You know, we come there. They will say the results were good. There was nothing there. But every single time, it was like, nah, the results are not good. You need to have another surgery. So it was quite difficult. And in the middle of this season, God starts to speak and is actually as well start to call us to the Bible school, which was on the other side of the planet in New Zealand. So it was, people are not happy when we started to share about that. And at the time, the results, the surgeries were still showing that I have a tumor that is still there. I can't go. I need to first finish. But I just had peace inside and I knew that God is calling us there. And it wasn't really logical, but we took a step of faith and trusted God. And, you know, one day after going to New Zealand, we are there, we do this college, and God was doing amazing things in our lives. God was speaking to us. People were praying. And just like in the middle of year, like, okay, let's go to a doctor to see how are things going, if I need to fly back and have another surgery. And one day we just went to see a doctor, man, and the doctor looked inside and he said that there was nothing there. Come on, God is good and faithful. God is good and faithful. And yes, yeah, so you know, every miracle in the Bible starts first as a problem. Did you know that? There is no testimony without a test, right? There is no testimony without a test. Every trial, difficult season is an opportunity for you to experience miracle, right? Man, I'm preaching this to myself. I don't like these seasons, but that's how it is, you know? So many times we pray for a miracle, but then when God positions us that, man, we need a miracle, we complain. Instead of taking it by faith, we start to complain. It's like, God, what are you doing? Why are you so bad to me? Right? But no, this is a time to take it by faith. Okay, God, what you want to do? Right? So God doesn't allow any pain without a purpose. Right? That's very important. So there are a couple of keys when it comes to activating God's promises in your life. This is really cool. I heard this one from John Burr. Man, it's amazing. So when you think about when Moses delivers Israelites out of Egypt, where is he taking them? Help me out, someone. Promised Land. Red Sea. No. So, what did he say to Pharaoh five times? In Exodus 7:16, he says, "Let my people go so that they may worship God in the wilderness." Right? So why would Moses want to bring people to the Promised Land without first bringing them to the promiser? Right? So if they go right away to the Promised Land, they just create another Egypt, a place of idolatry, right? It's not enough to take them out of Egypt. What God had to do was to take Egypt out of them, right? So Moses brings Israelites to the Mount Sinai. That's where the burning bush was. That's where it happened, right? So that's where he had his first encounter with God, right? So what Moses... He takes the Israelites all the way to the mountain because he wants them to meet who he met, right? He wants to introduce. So the Israelites, they didn't know God yet. So he was like, hey, I want to show you this guy, right? He wants to first to show them the promiser. Even God says in Exodus 19 verse 4, he says, "You yourself have not seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on the eagle's wings and what I brought you to myself." Come on, the reason why God took Israelites out of Egypt was to bring them to himself. You know, sometimes the first key to activating God's promises is real relationship with God. Can we say this together? Real relationship with God. God wants to see if you can worship him in desert. Sometimes God allows you to experience desert, to experience wilderness, to test you, but the main purpose is to bring you to himself, right? So that's also what we do here in Equippers. We are like, hey, we want to meet you, this guy. It's not about music, it's not about us. You have to meet this guy. We need to meet your God, we need to meet the promiser. He's the one who created you. He's the one who loves you. He's the one who has the good plans for your life. That's the purpose. We just create a space like, hey, you have to know that guy. He wants to meet you. Yeah, maybe sometimes you go through hard stuff, but the purpose is because he wants you to meet him. He has good plans for your life. He's the promiser. What's your relationship with God like right now? Come on, let's be honest. God wants you to bring you closer to himself. It's today, if you should remember just one thing out of this sermon, is that it's not about the Promised Land, it's about God's presence. I know we talk about Promised Land, but the whole idea was like Moses just wanted to bring them first to the promiser to God because he knew he will take them to the promised land. Moses was not able to get them to promised land. God was the one who brought them to the promised land. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So the first thing, the second thing, the second key is obedience. Let's say it together, obedience. So good. So in Joshua 5 verse 6 says, for the people of Israel walked for 40 years in the wilderness. By the way, that was supposed to take for 2 weeks or 1 month, that journey. They walked for 40 years in the wilderness until all the nation, the men of war who came out of Egypt, perished because, now listen, they did not obey the voice of the Lord. The Lord swore to them that they would not let them to see the land that the Lord had sworn to their fathers to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, if there is, you need to understand when it comes to the promises of God, this is very important. God's love is unconditional. God's going to love you no matter what you do in your life. God's going to still love you. God is willing to forgive you. But his promises are conditional. We must obey him to see his blessing, right? So his promises work when we obey, right? So Moses, even think about that. Moses could not enter the promised land because he disobeyed. Moses. Man, when I was young, I could not believe that. Like, what? Moses? God, are you serious? If there's one person that deserves to go to promised land, isn't it Moses? He messed up once, no? After he had encountered Jesus, right? How many times you and I messed up, right? It's like, I don't even know where I would be. I would probably die before the Red Sea. I don't know. It's crazy. But yeah. Man, the obedience is crucial, right? God gives a promise to Joshua. One of the first things, God starts to speak to Joshua and he gives him a promise. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I'll be with you. So God gives Joshua this promise. And then guess what? He loses his second battle. Eish. What a promise is that, God? And that's where Joshua realized that the promises work only when he obeys God. Only where they obey, right? So the idea, okay, God, now I'm going to partner with you. How we can put this together, right? So the second thing, the second key to the promise, to activating God's promise was what? Obedience. Now the third thing is actually sanctified life. Tamaj, you can come up. The sanctified life. In Joshua 3:5 says, and Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourself. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. So before we start asking God for something to do for us, how about just coming to God, hey God, are we right? Is there anything, is there any sin I should get rid of? Is there any sin I get too comfortable living with? God wants to transfer you and I into his image. I believe, you know, sometimes there is a sin maybe in your life that you are hiding. The good thing is that God is willing to forgive you and to take it away. I believe God is telling even right now, come on, it's time to let it go. Maybe there is some sin in your life. Come on, it's time to let it go. It's time to sanctify. It's time to live in freedom. God wants you to live in freedom. Come on. How about just letting the Holy Spirit to identify a sin in your life? So he can cleanse you. Come on, let's not give a small space to the devil. Let's get a small right. The fourth principle when we want to activate God's promises in our life is to be strong and courageous. You know, when God called Joshua in this story to bring them to the promised land, Moses just died and God starts to speak to Joshua. And you have to read that book, it's amazing. And he tells him three times, in the first chapter, three times, be strong and courageous. First time, second, be strong and be courageous. Third time, come on, be strong and be courageous. How about looking to your neighbor and say, be strong and be courageous. One of the terms I learned, one of the things I learned in the Bible school is that if God repeats something, you should listen. Even if your wife repeats something, you should double listen. You don't want to get in trouble. If something repeats, it's because it's important. Come on, we are not called to be warriors. We are called to be warriors, right? I hope I pronounce it well. But come on, let's do what scares us until it doesn't. Let's be strong. You know, my biggest fear was speaking in front of people. God has a good sense of humor, right? And you know, in the schools, they used to laugh at me every time. I actually, in Slovak language, I have a disability. I can't really pronounce some things well, so people often can't understand me. But God still didn't let it to be excuse. And you know, sometimes God calls you to step us out of our comfort zones, right? That's how we grow. Amen. You want to step out of your comfort zone? I know it's nice and warm there, but you will not grow there. If God says to you to be strong, man, it means there's going to be a lot of reasons in your life to be weak. If God says for you to not be afraid, it means there's going to be a lot of reasons in your life to be scared, to get overwhelmed by fear. When Joshua crossed the river of Jordan and came into the promised land, he had to conquer 31 kings. Man, put the series thing there. Man, with the honey. When you look at the promised land, it's like God is giving a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. This is what I picture. And then he comes there and all they do is to fight. That's crazy. We can't operate in the kingdom of God with fear. We have to be strong and courageous. Come on, God is with you. If God is with you, it doesn't matter if who is against you. Come on, the one who is with you is greater than the one who is in the world. Do you agree? Amen? I believe as well, to some of you, God is giving dreams. Not just your own dreams. God is giving His dreams. Our dreams often have to die. God wants to give you His dreams. They often look difficult. How many of you know that difficult doesn't mean impossible? Right? But come on, if God's going to give you a dream, He's going to fulfill it. If we're going to obey, if we're going to have real relationship with Jesus, if He's going to be strong and courageous, come on, if we understand God's timing, if we put our trust and faith in Him, come on, there is a way that God's going to fulfill the dreams He's giving to you, to your family, in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Come on, how courageous would you be if you knew you had access to heavenly resources, unlimited? You know, the purpose of the desert was for us to encounter God, to learn how to obey Him, to sanctify us, to leave Egypt behind, to become strong, because the battles are coming. We have to be strong. Oh man, I love how James 1:17 puts it together. We can have it. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change. Come on. Every good and perfect gift. Just imagine. Just think about what it means for a moment. Every good thing that happened in your life, man, God was there. It was because of Him. Because of the Father. You don't even realize how many times He saved your life. How many times He has protected you. How many times He has blessed you. To be honest, we just get used to that. And we complain when something bad happens. There's a couple of takeaways we want you to remember. What step of obedience should you take to release God's blessing? Obedience is the key that will activate God's promises in your life. What is your step of obedience God is calling you to do? Come on, I think some of you already know. I think some of you already know. You just pretend you don't see it. You just pretend, oh, it's just my thoughts. Oh, it's not God. It's not the Holy Spirit. Come on, what is the step of obedience? Come on, what sin in your life is the Holy Spirit identifying that He wants to take away? You know, there might be one of some sin. You think like nobody sees that. Sometimes we can be good in hiding stuff. God sees everything. Come on, just allow the Holy Spirit to identify, to take it away. Come on, when the Holy Spirit identifies something, it's not about to tell you, look at you, you are such a bad person. It's not about that. No, what He does, He's saying that, hey, I'm ready to take it away. It was always there, but now I think it's time to take it away. Amen? Come on, it's time. It's time to take it away. What fears you need to face that are hindering your spiritual growth? Come on, one thing, if I'm going to tell you, man, God's going to make you face your fears, just as I do right now. God's going to make you face your fears. That's why you have to be strong and courageous. There is no time to be afraid. Come on, we want to live a life of fullness, amen? Jesus came to live a life of fullness, being strong. That's your part, man. That's your part. God has given you access to everything, but this is your part, man. You have to be strong and courageous. That's why God speaks that to Joshua. Bonus is read the book of Joshua. And also want to encourage, make a list of God's promises and prophetically speak them daily over life. Man, if you start doing this little simple thing, it's going to change your life. Remember doing that. I used to think people don't love me, that I don't really have any true friends. But then I started to declare those things, and God has changed how I think. God has changed my beliefs. Man, it's so powerful. What you declare, what comes out of your mouth, the words, is such a power you don't even realize. How about standing up for a moment? Let's stand up. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to just pray for a moment. Father, thank you for every single good gift you have given us. Father, thank you that you are always there. Thank you that you are good and faithful. Thank you that we can rest on your promises for every single time you protected us. Every spiritual blessing that you have made available through Jesus, Father. Father, forgive us when we complain. Forgive us, Father, when we don't understand. Father, we are asking you to help us and to be our teacher, to teach us how we can access your kingdom of God. Come on, how about singing this together for a moment? Your promises are yes and amen. Let's sing this together. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice. Faithful, forever you will be. Faithful, you are. Come on, all of us.
Faithful, sing faithful, faithful,
Jesus. Come on, all His promises are yes and amen. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, just bring it to Him right now. Whatever promise you need to, just by faith, God, come on. But Your word says this. Come on, just name whatever it's provision right now. Come on, there is a faith in this room. God is working. God is able. Come on. There is a miracle working atmosphere right now. Just bring it to Jesus in this moment. Come on, claim healing. Claim provision. God wants to answer your prayers right now. Sheba ba 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 so. Your promises are yes today.
You are faithful. You are forever. You will be, Lord. Forever you will be. You are faithful. You are and all.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That you are good and faithful. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come, we don't want to leave this room today without giving an opportunity to say yes to Jesus. Did you know that the greatest promise of all of those, the greatest promise is forgiveness of your sins, peace with God and eternal life. Listen, your salvation and your relationship with Jesus is the most important thing in your life. All of us have sinned. That's why we need Jesus. God loves you so much that He sent His only Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for yours and my sins. And because of Him, we can now come to God because of that sacrifice on the cross. He has paid the price for our sins. He rose after 3 days, which proves that there is a victory. He is a living God. I love what He says in Romans 10, verse 9. Come on. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart, you will be saved, that He rose from the dead. Come on. Come on, just for a moment. Let's close our eyes just for a moment. Let's close our eyes. Come on, God is in this room right now. God wants to touch you right now. Come on, as we have our eyes closed, we're going to pray a simple prayer. I would love if you would pray for me. Come on, maybe you are here today. You realize that you don't really have a real relationship with Jesus. Maybe once you had, but something's happened, you went astray, and you lose this relationship with God. Come on, I would love to pray for you. As every eye is closed, come on, I'm going to need you to be brave right now. I need to know with who am I praying right at this moment. Come on, you want to say, God, that's me, Toby. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to come back to Jesus. Just for a moment, lift up your hands right now. Just for a moment, come on. If that's you. Come on, I see your hand. So good. Anyone else? I'm gonna wait a few more seconds. I see your hand. Praise God. Anyone else? A few more seconds. Hallelujah, Jesus. So good, so good. Praise God. Come on, let's pray this together, church. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus. Today I make a decision to follow you until the end of my life. Please forgive me your sins and help me to become like you. Teach me. And I make this decision today in the name of Jesus. And let's say all together one big, massive amen. Come on, church, let's make some noise for Jesus. Come on, God is good. Woo! Come on, so good.